Hello and welcome back to The Reveal. We're so glad you could be with us. You know, this one's going to be a goodie. We're going to talk about something that we're asked quite a bit about, and it's time that it's explained. Now, I will warn you ahead of time. Like anything, hear it all the way out. This one's going to make a lot of people upset or uncomfortable. And like anything, you have to hear it all to be able to know the truth and to hear the truth. You can't just hear something and just do like the Pharisees and just start yelling abomination and run off. How many times do we hear that these days? People acting that way because of they're so stuck on tradition rather than finding out the truth and much less accepting the truth. So that being the case, and I didn't mean to go off on a tangent there, but bear with us here. We're going to hit a really deep subject, and I promise you, you're going to get an awful lot out of it, and it's going to explain an awful lot and be well worth it, okay? The question is Jesus God? And the answer is no. That doesn't mean he's not of God. It doesn't mean he's not the Son of God. But these are not being spoken of enough and taught enough, but rather yet just used in a way of, well, let me put it this way. Better yet, they take a couple of verses, a few verses that vaguely talk about it, and use it to be able to pitch an idea rather than actually listening to what's being said, okay? Have you noticed, and this is God's way throughout the entire scriptures and always has been, to speak in ways that many times are straightforward, many times are very poetic. Have you ever wondered about that? For example, one of the greatest, if not the greatest, verse that's used to explain why Jesus is God is John 1:1. And in John 1:2-3, I believe it is, it says this: In the beginning was the Word, and that's in our Bibles, capital W, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's what it's based on. Now, I'll read further. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but, and this is very important with what we're talking about today, darkness has not understood it. Darkness can't understand it because it's not willing to, as well as it doesn't have the ability. What did he say? So many times, I speak in parables, and I speak in ways so that those without eyes to see and ears to hear will not be able to understand. He said, I don't speak in these ways to make it easier to understand, but to make it harder for them to understand. And he even goes further and states in the scriptures, the reason being is because if I said it and made it easy to understand, then they would get it and I would have to let them in. This is a means of the Spirit sorting out the weeds from the wheat. And it's gone on for an awful long time. Now, follow along with me for a moment. And I know that this is a bit scattered and a bit deep, but I promise it's going to get much easier. Yes, indeed. You do have many, or quite a few verses, not many, that make it a little confusing, or make it quite confusing for so many individuals talking about, well, Jesus is God. Because he said, the Father and I are one. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are one. The Father and I are one. He said in John 1:1, of course, like we just read, the Word was God. And Him being the Word, as we know, there should be no question. It says the Word was God. But let's stop. It also says in Hebrews 1:8, God the Father calls the Son God. And in Colossians 2:9, the fullness of deity dwells in Him bodily. And then it also refers to Him twice in the New Testament as our God and Savior, speaking of Jesus Christ. So see, He must be the Father. That doesn't make sense, does it? But rather yet, many more times does it say things like, for I don't say what I want to say, but what the Father tells me to say, and how He tells me to say it. Jesus prays. You think He's praying to Himself when He says, O Father? When He asks for this cup to be taken from Him, you think He's asking Himself? He said, I come in the name of the Father. You think He's coming under the authority of Himself? No. But God, the one and only, the Father of us all, for that matter, has given Him full authority and power. That does not make Him the Father. But it's what happens a lot of times with a lot of things, even here on earth. And if you'll pardon the way I'm going to put it here, if you have a law firm, okay, and you have the senior lawyer in the firm is the Father, and he's been around an awfully long time. In fact, he's been around since the laws were written and had a lot to do with the laws being written. And has been practicing for an awful long time. And there's no one that knows the courts better. And then he has his son, creates his son, and he gives his son full authority over the firm. And then he has, for the sake of this conversation, give me a little room here if you don't mind, his grandson becomes a lawyer, is a lawyer as well, and he's the right arm of the firm. He is the hot young litigator that goes into court and fights the cases. And when he's in court, and a judge says, Mr. Lord, is it safe to say that Lord, and attorneys at law would agree to blankety blank blank blank, whatever it may be? Is it not clear that young attorney would have the authority to be able to say yes, Your Honor, we would, or no, Your Honor, we wouldn't, etc., and speak on behalf of the firm, because he has full authority. That's what the word, when it talks about in the name of, means. In the name of Jesus, in the name of the Father. It's referring to with the authority of, the authority and power of. So here's what we're talking about. Would not that young attorney be able to say, absolutely, because he has the authority to speak on behalf of him? And then he also would have the authority to be able to say, I can say that because the Father is in me and I'm in the Father. The three of us are all one. That doesn't make the Son the Father. It doesn't make the Father the Son. It doesn't make the Holy Spirit the Son or the Father. It doesn't mean anything other than what it says. And for anyone to take it further is elementary and childlike. You have to hear the word. Every word is important, but you have to hear the word within the words. You do this by actually going through very carefully, but you have to also listen to what it's saying. Again, how many times does Jesus have to say, "I come in the name of the Father. The Father sent me." I know one in particular is, now I will give credit, if you'll excuse me for a minute. Again, where people go, well, the Word was God, and he said he and the Father are one, so that makes him God. And again, I say it's elementary, but something they always leave, it's easy to not understand when you don't have the full picture. And that's why I'm trying to be so careful in giving you the full picture. Because it also says in Psalms, if you're familiar with the passage, where it refers to Psalm 82:6 to be exact, if you want to look it up, "I have said, you are gods. You are all sons of the Most High." It also says in the New Testament where Jesus quoted that in John 10:34. He said that it says that Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law, I have said you are gods?" If he called them gods to whom the word of God came and the scriptures cannot be broken, what about the one whom the Father set apart as his very own and sent into the world? Why then do you accuse me of blasphemy because I said, I am God's son? See, you're not taught that one very much, are you? That one you don't hear mentioned. So it's not saying that, when he refers to those, it does not mean instantly that God said, and made the statement directly, "You are gods." That doesn't mean that, "Hey, folks, you're me." That would be ridiculous, wouldn't it? Well, this is part of the hypocrisy that happens with those who are only willing to see a little bit and then make an absolute decision without hearing further. Again, I'm telling you and saying, the hardest thing to do is to give up the way you believe or the way you think to accept the truth. That doesn't mean just anything and everything. I'm not being whimsical here or not asking you to be. But you can never accept the truth if you're not willing to let go of a lie or an incomplete of where you are. I don't care what the circumstances are. I don't care how well you say you're saved. If you're not willing to give up the way you think and the way you accept something and the way you hold on to something to be able to accept more, you'll never get it. Think about it. It's very much like a child being taught about Santa Claus. We do this for children because they can't conceive of more and accept the greater teaching of Christ and the real deep reasons as to why and how, because they haven't grown enough to need it and be able to consume it. So we teach them about Santa Claus and it's better and about giving and about, and then we taper them. That's the purpose, is to taper them into the greater lesson in Christmas. However, you've got so many that, again, how foolish would it be to stay hooked on Santa Claus and cast off Christ? That's happening everywhere now, isn't it? But that shows the elementary, childish behavior. The same thing goes with the scriptures. You can't take the minimum and take what you want from it and not take it all. Because it all paints a picture. Jesus is not lessened by being the Son of God. He's not lessened by not being the Father. And to say so otherwise is, to be honest with you, is blasphemy. Think of it this way for a minute. Here's another example. Think of the Father, God the Father, as the mainland. And we, mankind, as the island he creates, or he created. And then he has the bridge. He had to have the bridge first to be able to create the island. But he has a bridge, and the bridge connects the mainland to the island. Now, to the island, the bridge is the mainland. You can see that. I can see it. That makes sense. It's naive. It's primitive. Because it's not, is it? The bridge is built for the island, to reach from the mainland to the island and to connect the two. It is the covenant. And that's another word I need to mention to you. A covenant isn't a promise necessarily, or a contract, or it's very simple. Since the beginning of mankind, it's been used as an example, as something that binds two entities together. And you can word it however you want to. But it was used in the way old days as a means of, they would take an ox and cut it in half, and lay it on the ground, and splay it out, and then walk between the two halves instead of having the vocabulary, but to directly give its meaning of joining the two halves together, okay? It's a means of joining two, bridging two pieces together. That's a covenant. It can be done so with a promise. It can be done so with a contract. It can be done so with the Son of God. Think about it. To the mainland, the bridge called itself the Son of God. To the island, the bridge referred to itself as the Son of Man. But no matter what, it is the bridge. Jesus is the Son of God. And he was given the power and authority of the Father. It doesn't make him the Father. He even made the statement and said, for the time will come when I will no longer speak this way. And you will be able to go to the Father directly. I am not saying that I will go to him and speak on your behalf, but he loves you greatly, and you will be able to go to him and speak to him freely. Hello, bridge. Bridging the gap between ourselves and the Father. I hope this has helped out some. And we're going to go on to much greater and deeper things from here, but I wanted to take a moment to explain this because this is vital in one's growth with their relationship with God. It's important that as you grow that you get to know, and that's what we're doing here. At the reveal, we look forward to talking to you next time. In the meantime, keep yourself in the Word, and may God bless you. And we're going to go on to much greater and deeper things from here, but I wanted to take a moment to explain this because this is vital in one's growth with their relationship with God. It's important that as you grow that you get to know, and that's what we're doing here. at the reveal. We look forward to talking to you next time. In the meantime, keep yourself in the Word, and may God bless you.